At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Murmur from Elo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Tuscan Soups with myself, Greg Hughes Peterson, now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. We've got a tremendous podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to be chatting with Ethan Bach, who does amazing work over at the Portal Report. We're going to be chatting with him about some of the latest transfers that we've seen. Now, we did do this prior to Ada Mahaney deciding that he is going to be going to UConn, and I'll touch upon that a little bit here in segment number one, but we're going to be chatting about the fact that we haven't seen a lot of these guys follow their former coach to a new stomping ground, and we did see a little bit of reversal of that as well, because I was talking about, man, Dusty May has not brought over any of his FAU guys over to Michigan, and then, of course, Vladislav Golden, he decides that he's going to be going over there to wreck a little bit of my question, but that's it. We're going to be diving in on that topic. We're going to be diving in on the topic of the May 1st cutoff for all transfers to be able to enter into the portal, and Ethan seems to think that there's going to be people that challenge the NCAA, and they might be able to win out there, and we're going to be talking about just teams in general. They've done a great job in the portal thus far, and then in the final segment, going to get you guys a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Monday. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XSimeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, Lursey, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated, and then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, and didn't get in any Twitter /X questions, so please do help me out here and help us out a little bit, because I do base segment number one oftentimes around these questions. But that said, do want to just talk about, sometimes you need to just take a look at a guy going to a school and just have to recognize, yes, this is a perfect fit, and you need to use your intuition, because I talk about this with Ada Mahaney going on over to UConn. Like, immediately when I saw that, light bulb goes off in my head, and I think, this is a perfect fit. You've got a UConn team that they brought in Cam Spencer last year. You knew that you were going to only have him for 1 year. How do you replace him? Ada Mahaney, I just feel like, is as perfect of a fit as it gets. A top scorer while he was over at St. Mary's, a very defense-oriented team that didn't necessarily play super-duper up-tempo, someone that's able to pop it from three, but is still able to give you good facilitation. I'm not going to call him like some sort of a wizard Rajon Rondo 2.0 or anything like that, but a good facilitator. Realizing some of that and taking a little bit of a step back, I think, is so big, because when you take a look at the numbers, and I mean, the numbers for Ada Mahaney, they're tremendous. He shot in his 2 years at St. Mary's 37.5% from three. He was able to log nearly 14 points per contest. Those are very good numbers, but you can't just have the numbers be an end-all be-all. You have to think in the back of your mind, all right, how is this guy going to fit in the system? I think that Ada Mahaney for UConn, that is such a good gift for them. I think that he is going to be perfect in that system. And what is perfect for this podcast is getting on Ethan Bach, as he's a tremendous guest for this system. He does an amazing job taking a look at this great game of college basketball. And coming up next, we're going to be chatting up with him as to what we've all seen here in the last few days. He's evaluating some of these players deciding not to follow their coach to their new stomping grounds, and so much more right here on Chris Cozy with myself, Peggy Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soup with myself, Craig Eves Peterson, now part of the Eves and Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man, as Ethan Buck. He does an absolutely tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. He's doing excellent work over at the Portal Report. Coupled with that, doing a great job on the West Virginia beat over at West Virginia Sports Now, as there's been no shortage of things happening this offseason for West Virginia. And not bad. I know that he was having his hands full a little bit with the NFL draft as well. You're able to follow Ethan on Twitter /X at his first and last name, Ethan Bach, and then an underscore after that. And Ethan, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Ethan. And what I do appreciate as well is that we have been seeing a lot of action in the transfer portal over the last few days. And I mean, there have been a lot of winners when it comes to college basketball recently, but I don't know about you, but right now the team that I feel like has had the best offseason is Kansas, because I feel like they just had everything working for them. They learned from last offseason where they stuck all of their eggs in the basket of Hunter Dickinson and really not much else, and now they've got a lot more depth as well. I'm not sure how you feel about this Kansas team and just really who some of the top teams have been this offseason, but I think that it's very hard to not have Kansas towards the top of that list.
I think Kansas should probably be the preseason number one going into the next year. It's almost like deja vu for me for this offseason, because this time last year, I think I was in a similar position of thinking this Kansas team this past season would be top five all year and getting a number one seed, mixing the retention with Hunter Dickinson. I thought Nick Timberlake would have played better in his role as well. And at the time, Artario Morris from Texas was still on the team. Marcus Adams was still with the team. So, and Kansas last offseason had a lot of moving pieces, about eight or nine transfer departures, if I remember right. I think this is a much better offseason. I'm still going to be cautious just because of, I think we talked about it last time. I think there were some teams that are almost just falling into the hole of what John Calipari kind of fell in at Kentucky, of trying to mix talented freshmen with experienced transfer portal players. And it's not always going to work out. I think, like we talked about, you have to play it like the UConn route, plug and play. I really like what Bill Self has done this offseason. I mean, the fact that they're 10 deep, they're going to be 13 deep by November. The fact that you have potentially KJ Adams off the bench is just incredible to think about.
Yep, it certainly is incredible. And my goodness gracious, you take a look at this team, and certainly there's going to be injuries that happen, and sometimes you have funky things that happen off the court as well. But all in all, I love the way that they've been able to build themselves up. And much like we saw last year in the Big 12 as well, it's going to be a bit of a new look conference. No longer do we have to worry about Oklahoma and Texas, but some of those Pac-12 teams are going to be coming in as well. And just how do you look at the outlook of the Big 12 going into this year, because the teams are going to be coming into the Big 12. I would say that there have been some quality moves. I would like to see a little bit more from Colorado, but on all the newcomers, I like what I've seen out of them. And when it comes to the Big 12, they've been regarded as the best conference in all of college basketball, though I know that the Big East is certainly out for that crown as of right now. But that said, how do you just take a look at this conference as opposed to going into last offseason?
I think this year the Big 12 has to prove a lot. Just, I think the Big East and the SEC are starting to creep in on overtaking the Big 12 as the best conference. But then again, the Big 12 adds in Arizona, notably. And they also add in ASU, Colorado, Utah, while losing Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. So the SEC and hoops could get better, especially if Porter Moser reloads his roster. Rodney Terry's retooled so far at Texas. So over on the Big 12 side, it's a year where they need to actually advance far into the tournament. I think since Kansas' title in 2022, it's been, for what the Big 12 has been hyped up to be, they haven't had really a true national title contender. Houston definitely was this past season, but actually those teams getting back to the Final Four and getting to the national championship game right at the top of the conference, you have Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Arizona, Iowa State. Big 12 could potentially have five teams in the preseason top 10. So it's, again, going to be a really talented league top to bottom. And even like teams last year, like Cincinnati, they bring back their whole core of guards that they had, and Day-Day Thomas, Jizzle James, Kocious, Dan Skillings as well. So even when you go down to the bottom half of the conference from last season, you still have teams that could make that jump and compete at the top.
Yep, absolutely. And I just take a look at conference realignment, and I'm going to need to be taking a look online, like whenever I reference all these conferences for the next few months, because, man, it is not what we're used to in college basketball, to say the least, but it certainly should lead to a lot of fun. As joining me on the show, we've got Ethan Bach, who does tremendous work over at the Portal Report, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do think that it's going to be very interesting to see what we're going to be getting on that front. But coupled with that, I do think that it's been of such fascination as is something that you were alluding to with Cincinnati. Them having so many returning pieces, and we still have a few days for these guys to be able to enter into the transfer portal as we record this, but out of all the teams that you've seen, who do you feel like has done perhaps the best job of retaining talent? Because I'm right there with you with Cincinnati. I think that it's been impressive that Gonzaga hasn't really lost a lot of people, but want to get your thoughts here, because we're all buzzing about these guys entering in the transfer portal, who these teams are landing, but I also think that it's very important to take a look at who's coming back and who's not transferring.
Ironically, Gonzaga, along with Cincinnati, was the second team I was thinking about. I think especially in the Big 12, if we're just diving into the Big 12 for now, Kansas, to a point, has retained way much better than they did last offseason. I do think they needed to lose players last offseason as well. But obviously, just bringing back DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams alone, that recipe I think we're talking about with retaining contributing players and then plugging and playing through the portal. I'm really curious this week who teams can retain. I'm curious to see, with the grad transfer rule being pushed up to now the transfer portal entry date at May 1st, is it a whole wave of grad transfers? Do the grad transfers just end up staying at their school? I feel like it's another lawsuit within the NCAA waiting to happen, just again with the transfer rule last offseason with undergrads. All it does is violate how much NIL they can make in the players' eyes, at least, and the players now have that leverage. So I'm curious to see what the grad transfers do going into the final days here. I can't believe we're already there, but it's going to be interesting to see. I want to wait till May 1st to truly see who everybody can bring back, because I feel like you just never know.
And I'll ask you about this as well. And if you don't have a great answer, don't worry, because the NCAA never has a great answer as well. Do you think that the May 1st rule will actually be staying, or do you think that there are going to be guys that challenge it and get their way? Because it feels like the NCAA has just been pretty much plowed. I want to get your thoughts here. Do you think that the NCAA is actually going to be able to enact this May 1st rule, or do you think that this is going to be one where they lose once again?
I think for grad transfers especially, it just seems like it's something else they're going to lose. I think the last couple off seasons now, we've been comfortable with just a wave of grad transfers through June and August. It's not many portal entries. It's not as much as it would be during the transfer entry window. I would say 150 at most extra kids entering. And that's probably overshooting it too. It's not many guys entering that have graduated. It's a very small wave throughout the summer months. I really don't understand changing the grad transfer entry deadline. I guess it does give those players an advantage to really figure out what they want to do, and it gives them an advantage over the undergraduates. I didn't see too much of a problem with it. I just think now it's just another thing the NCAA is going to have to juggle when one or two players down the line here in the summer months decide they want to transfer. They graduate after summer credits. I mean, supposedly the NCAA is not going to allow them to enter the portal during that period, but I can't see them winning that battle, just with how it went last fall with Raekwon Battle, Azeez Bandego, and even like a Jarrett Hensley from Southern Illinois. In the players' eyes, they're preventing in the court's eyes, they're preventing how much money a player can make. So it violates antitrust. I see down the line here in the summer months, there will be a transfer that graduates and he'll want to play at a new school. And I feel like it'll just cause maybe possibly another court case.
Yep, I could see that as well. And the NCAA's track record in these court cases, not good recently, to say the least. As Ethan Bach, who does great work over at the Portal Report, is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And certainly that is going to be of intrigue. But in terms of guys that have come off the board the last few days, because certainly Ryland Griffin going over to Kansas, that was a big one from the last few days. Pops Isaacs, I mean, man, him going on over to Creighton, that was big for them, especially with Trey Alexander entering into the NBA draft. That's big as well. But What have you seen over the last, we're going to call it week and a half or so, that you take a look at a move or two that was made and you really like it and you think it's going to be making one of the bigger impacts of the offseason?
I really like what Pat Kelsey's done at Louisville so far. The last 7-8 years of Louisville basketball, and they needed an energy from Pat Kelsey, or a guy like Pat Kelsey, just that personality, just even though he wasn't their first, second, or maybe even third option. But Pat Kelsey is somebody that Louisville basketball needs right now. So just with what he's been able to get in the transfer portal so far, and he tops it off this past week with Chucky Hepburn from Wisconsin. I don't know what Louisville's expectations are going to be going into next year. I don't know if it's realistic to just say make the tournament. I don't know if it's realistic to just say show potential and at least compete in the ACC next year. I don't know what their expectations realistically should be. It reminds me of St. John's last year, first year with Rick Pitino. I think everybody was all over the place of where they could actually be. And so I look at Louisville and I just know how their fan base is. They're going to expect to win games in the tournament now, I feel like, with Pat Kelsey. Do I think they're ready yet for that? They're close, but probably not. I could see their year being similar to a St. John's. It's a team in the ACC, just the bottom of the conference, stepping up and having a turnaround year. I could see that.
Yep, I could see that as well. And perhaps it all started with the NCAA tournament this past year, with all those teams being able to ascend and all those teams being able to really succeed. And I do want to get your thoughts on this as well. We have seen a few guys follow their former coaches, like Indiana State's guys. You saw a few guys go over to Josh Schertz, Robbie Avila, Alonzo Isaac Swope. Those are absolutely massive. And Pat Kelsey, good example of this. He brought over a few guys from College of Charleston, but it does feel like there's been far fewer players following their coach from one school to the next, unlike what we saw with like South Florida and Amir Abdul-Rahim from a season ago.
Unpredictable in certain aspects, like Jake Diebler staying at Ohio State, Dusty May going to Michigan. I really can't tell this offseason why kids aren't following their coaches. Mark Pope's had some success there. And Darren DeReeves brought his son Tucker, but he hasn't been able to bring other Drake guys along with him. And then Dusty May hasn't been able to bring his FAU guys up to Michigan. Mark Byington, even at Vandy, with a couple of the JMU guys, he could have brought with him. It's a weird part of this transfer portal cycle that's been a difference between the last couple off seasons, just in the coaching carousel and the portal, just kind of mixed. Being on the WVU beat, I felt like Darren DeReeves could have brought in a Kevin Overton, who was a freshman at Drake, averaged 11 points. That would have been huge for having like a long-term build with Kevin Overton, and even bringing contributing guys like an Aiden Wright or even a Connor Enright if you wanted to use him off the bench as a role player. There could have been guys from Drake that Darren DeReeves could have brought with him with his son Tucker. I like Michigan's offseason so far, but just I feel like these guys transitioning up to the Power 5 level, bringing in a Vlad Golden, Janelle Davis, Nick Boyd, Elijah Martin, you need that culture. You need to bring that culture with you to your new school, even if it's a couple of guys. And you're not going to bring an entire team with you, but just having the guys you've been around with for 3-4 years at this point, it's a weird part of this offseason that I really cannot figure out why kids aren't following their coaches, especially the leading scorers of their teams that enter the portal.
Yep, I do think that it is very strange what we've been seeing, and it's going to be interesting to see if that turns around the next few weeks, because there's still plenty of FAU guys are out there in the transfer portal, but as we know with Michigan, they're running out of roster space as well. We shall see if some of these coaches are able to bring in some of their own, but it's getting late early, but for this man, it is always a situation where he's doing a great job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. Ethan, I know you're hard at work, whether that be late, whether that be early, whether that be midday. You're very much taking a look at all the news that we're getting in college basketball. No shortage of it. When it's all said and done, we're probably going to be up to about 2,000 transfers. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep. So you can follow me at EthanBach_ for any West Virginia coverage, and then at the Portal Report on Twitter as well, or X as we call it now, just for the rest of the transfer portal cycle. Entry dates in a couple days here, May 1st. So it's going to be interesting to see this offseason, just that transition from entry date to kids committing.
Yep, it is going to be a lot of fun to see. And Ethan, I know that you're going to be following this offseason every step of the way, all the way up until the start of the season. Then from there, it's all about gauging the Big 12, West Virginia, and so much more. And it's always great to be able to get Ethan aboard. Big thanks, Sam, for joining me on Cuscus Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as all the news and notes we saw in college basketball in the last 24 hours.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Ethan Bach, who does tremendous work over at the Portal Report. It has been no shortage of news for him in the offseason, as we've got so many guys entering into the transfer portal. The deadline, it is May 1st, so those guys are very, very much at it. They are doing a great job of staying on top of all these transfers. You'll notice that they do a great job with even the guys going from like the D2 level up to the D1 level as well. I mean, they're just doing absolutely tremendous work over there. So always great to be able to get them aboard. Big thanks to Ethan for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. They give you all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. I feel like this, without a question, is the biggest one. Aiden Mahaney, he last season was the top scorer over at St. Mary's. He's going to be going on over to UConn, and we recorded this interview prior to Mahaney going over there, so I will highlight this a little bit more on the podcast tomorrow with a guest, as we're going to be joined by Ryan McIntyre of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But you just want to talk about a fit that makes all the sense in the world. You're going to be losing a guy in Cam Spencer from the backcourt. You need a plug-and-play sort of scorer that is a part of a system that played very good defense. How about Aiden Mahaney going on over to UConn? 14 points per contest last season, a career about 37.5% three-point shooter. Not an amazing distributor, but a solid distributor. I just look at his game, and he just spells out UConn guy altogether. Like, I just think that this is an absolutely perfect fit. Just well done in general by UConn on this front. So this is absolutely massive for them. And I was wondering, why aren't we seeing these coaches decide to bring over some of their own? Well, for Michigan and Dusty May, he is going to be bringing over Vladislav Golden, the 7-footer from Florida Atlantic, who last season supplied the team with 16 points, 7 boards, a block and a half per contest. Now you've got a little bit of a fire and ice thing going on, as they've also got Danny Wolf, who's going to be coming on over from the Ivy League. He was rock solid over at Yale. He's a true 7-footer that both of these guys have a little bit of a different game. With Golden, he's more of a back-to-the-basket, low-post guy. With Wolf, he's able to stretch the floor. He's able to pop a few more threes. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Michigan does in terms of their style, whether they want to play both guys at the same time, whether they want to interchange them. Maybe they're going to be looking to sort of have hockey-style line shifts as well. I don't think that Dusty May would be willing to go quite that far, but that said, it gives this team some options. It allows the chemistry in general to just be a little bit higher on this team as well, and that's one of the biggest things that I was thinking that Dusty May needed to do. He needed to bring over one or two of those guys from Florida Atlantic to just be able to instill the system in general, and now they're going to be able to do that. So I do think that that is pretty massive on that front. He saw Jahari Williamson. He was last season playing over at Valparaiso. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Niagara for Valparaiso, by the way. Things have just been rough for them. But Williamson, he was a solid player last year. Shot about 35.5% from three-point range. Logged about 8 points per game as a little bit more of a reserve player coming off the bench for Valparaiso and for Niagara. They were an incredible three-point shooting team a season ago. Not necessarily a team that did the world's greatest job on defense, and for Valparaiso, they certainly left a lot to be desired as well, but I think that he's going to be able to go into that system. Williamson is actually a gentleman from Ontario, and I think that he's going to be a textbook perfect fit. Bryson Goodine, he is back at the Power Conference level. He began his career over at Syracuse, has dealt with injuries all throughout his career, but was really able to ascend with Fairfield last year. He was the Metro Atlantic Sixth Man of the Year a season ago, coming in off the bench, shooting 46.5% from three-point range, 14 points per contest. He goes over to Oklahoma, and that's big for Oklahoma because their three-point shooting last year just really fell off the rails in the second half of the season. You lose someone like an Ortega away, who was able to be very good out there in the backcourt, and Porter Mosier really needed to retool. Now, with Goodine, you do have to have a few question marks in terms of the defense that he's going to be willing to play as Fairfield. They were a solid defense. They weren't necessarily an amazing defense, but that said, bringing in Goodine, I think, is going to be a relatively good fit, and we've seen Oklahoma be able to thrive with these mid-major guys. They brought in someone like a Javion McCollum a season ago, so I do like this pickup, and for Oklahoma, I have to figure that they've got a little bit more work to be done on the transfer portal front, but bringing in Kobe Elvis along Jaden Jones to go along with Goodine, they're doing a solid job of being able to retool that backcourt. Malik Presley, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Texas. He was playing this last season over at Vanderbilt, and for those that know about Vanderbilt, it was not a great year for them last season, as Mr. Presley, he wasn't necessarily able to give the team a whole heck of a lot of anything whatsoever, as he logged about 2.5 points, 1.5 rebounds per game. Former top 250 recruit, didn't quite crack the top 100 gentleman from the great state of Texas. If Texas is utilizing him for a bunch of minutes, they're probably in trouble. I'm going to be honest with you, but for Texas, just being able to have that depth in general, I do think that that is pretty big for them, so we shall see what he's going to be able to deliver, but I do think that this is big for Wichita State. It's been a down last few seasons for them, being able to bring in Justin Hill, who last season while he was over at Georgia, logged about 9.5 points per contest, was an okay distributor, has never been necessarily an amazing distributor, began his career over in the Big South when he was playing for the old Lancers of Longwood. He's going to be coming in, and it's always been an okay three-point shooter. Not amazing, not bad. Shoots about 33% from three-point. This past year was able to dole out about 3 assists per contest, but in the American, I do think that he's going to be able to come in right away, be able to make a pretty massive impact. And for Wichita State, going to be very interesting to see what you get year number two of this just coaching regime in general as Paul Mills comes over from Oral Roberts. They haven't made a ton of moves, but they also brought in AJ McGinnis, who is a very nice shooter over at Lipscomb this last season. So I'm very curious to see if they're going to be bringing in a little bit more size. Is that something that is currently lacking a little bit for the team? But all in all, for Wichita State, they've done a nice job being able to retool this backcourt, and I do think that it's going to be all the more lethal this upcoming season. Raheem Moss, he was playing over at Toledo this last year, averaged 15.5 points, 5.5 boards, 3 assists. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to Oregon, and going to be interesting to see how he fits this Oregon style. As we know, Dana Altman was one of the real pioneers of utilizing the transfer portal to be able to bring in a lot of talent, though it's been a pretty silent offseason for them. They brought in Brandon Angel, a 6'6 combo player that's able to pop threes from Stanford. They're bringing in Raheem Moss. That's about it as of right now, though. I do know that Oregon, they're going to be able to retain quite a few of their guys from a season ago. It's looking like they should be able to get back in the fold quite a bit of that backcourt. And for Moss, he's got a nice 6'4 size, has never necessarily been an amazing three-point shooter this last year. Shot in the neighborhood about 31-32% from three-point range, but he's able to give you 3 assists per contest, and he's probably going to be filling that Jermaine Cuisard role along Jackson Shellstead. Shellstead was a top 25 recruit that was really able to ascend towards the back half of last season, so I do think that they're going to be able will form a nice duo out there. And I do think that Alex Sobel, who has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal, is someone that is going to be very sought after. He's one of those graduate transfers that had his hand forced a little bit, but for Sobel last season while he was over at Sacred Heart, very solid player. 12.5 points, 7.5 boards. Originally was playing at the non-D1 level over at Middlebury College, and he stepped right into the D1 level, became one of the best shot blockers in all of college basketball with right around about 2.8 blocks per contest at 6'8". Have to figure that there's going to be a lot of guys and a lot of teams are going to be in for his services. And you saw that with another big man who averaged right around that same amount of blocks per contest in Justice Ejiofor. He was playing this last season over at Harvard. He has decided that he's going to be going to St. Joe's, where he's not going to be looking to be an average Joe. For Ejiofor, missed a little bit of time last year due to injury, and he's very much a back-to-the-basket guy. This is not a guy that's going to be going out there, stretching the floor, popping in from three, but 8.5 points, 6.5 boards, 2.9 blocks per contest when I was over at Harvard a season ago. Rock solid pickup for a St. Joe's team that they just went down the toilet bowl with their defense towards the back half of the season last year. Offense was very solid. They've been able to shore this up. They also bring in Derek Simpson, the point guard from Rutgers. So really do like what they're doing on this front. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to be happening on this front with Virginia Tech, as they lost quite a few pieces in the offseason as well. They are no longer going to have Sean Padula in the backcourt. And they were banking on Jordan Ivy Curry, who was averaging 17 points, 5 boards, 3 assists per contest a season ago over at UTSA. Being in there, he has decided that he's going to be opening up his recruitment once again. He's already in the NBA draft, and I can tell you right now, he's probably not going to be staying in the NBA draft, but that said, he's back out there on the open market, so there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in him. Igor Milicic, he has decided that he is going to be transferring to Tennessee, and I think that this is a tremendous transfer for Tennessee. Now, I don't think that he's going to be having the impact that Dalton Connect or anything like that had, but for Milicic, he last season was able to log about 13 points, 8.5 boards, shot 37.5% from three-point range. I absolutely love this move for Tennessee. He is able to add along Felix Opara, Darlison Dunbar, what they're going to be able to provide. And I feel like Tennessee is doing a tremendous job in the transfer portal. They're not bringing in like bulk transfers or anything like that. They're bringing in the right guys. They're bringing in guys that can be solid on the defensive end. And for Milicic at 6'10", him being able to pop threes, that's just absolutely massive for them. So I do love this pickup. And it's going to be interesting to see what you're going to be able to get out of Toby Awaka as well. As Awaka, he last season was a part of that Tennessee system, and he was a solid rebounder. Not a guy that was going to be able to stretch the floor or anything like that, but averaged about 5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. He has decided that he is going to be going to Arizona with Umar Paulo now being out the fold. They had to fill that void. And for Tennessee, they played a little bit more up-tempo, so it's still going to be a tempo shift for Awaka. But unlike past years where a Tennessee guy would have to really be cranking up the tempo, it's not as bad this season for him. I think that he's going to be able to go to Arizona. And I don't think that he's going to be the next Umar Paulo or anything like that, but I think that he's going to be able to come in right away and be able to have a nice splash impact there. Dominic Capriotti, he was playing over at Houston Christian this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going on over to Binghamton, and for Binghamton, they needed a little bit more three-point shooting pop. And for Dominic Capriotti, he was one of the few guys that was over at Houston Christian that could make a shot. Like, Houston Christian last year was absolutely terrible from three-point range, but Capriotti at about 6'3", shot 38.5% from three, 89% the free throw line, 7.5 points per contest, was a little bit of a specialist, but as a true freshman, was in the Southland doing a relatively solid job for a team that just had absolutely nothing around him. So I do think that he's going to be able to help out this Binghamton team, whether that be as like more of a 6th/7th man or perhaps as a starter as well. Tucker Anderson, he was very rock solid over at Central Arkansas this last year. 6'9" as a true freshman, really spaced out the floor. Shot 38% from three, 14.5 points, 3.5 boards per contest. Could be interesting to see what else Utah State does, but they land a guy in Tucker Anderson that I think he's going to be a nice fit for that system, and he's a very interchangeable piece as well. You're able to utilize him a little bit more down low if you need him to. He's able to space out the floor, pop a few threes, and for Utah State, they brought in a lot of guys. I can't say that it's necessarily the world's greatest amount of guys, but one of the biggest ads I thought was not an ad at all. Ian Martinez is going to be staying with the program, who is rock solid, began his career over at Maryland along with Utah. Oben Gesterse, he comes in as more of a true rebounder from Stetson. Drake Allen, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from three-point range last season, but he, along with Dayton Albury, they're coming over, and they're going to be able to help out this backcourt as well. So Utah State, though they've lost quite a few pieces, they've been able to do an okay job of being able to recruit some of their own as well, and being able to add someone like a Tucker Anderson that you're able to use in a wide variety of ways. I always love guys that give you options. He's a guy that gives you options, so that is going to be very impactful for them. You saw Kimani Hoyasu. Hopefully I said that correctly. This is a little bit of a harebrained name, but that said, the gentleman that was a guard over at Washington State last season, he has decided that he is going to be going over to Loyola Chicago. And with Kimani, he was last season able to give a little bit of an impact to Washington State. Shot about 31.5% from three, 4.5 points, 3.5 boards, 2 assists per contest at 6'6", and he's just a textbook Loyola Chicago guy. Loyola Chicago has a very set system that is in place. They always do a great job of being able to hit the defensive glass. They don't get any sort of offensive rebounds whatsoever, but we got a lot of guys that are very interchangeable. They're able to guard multiple positions. They play positionless basketball. Huyinsu, I think, is going to be able to fit that quite well, and I do think that you should be seeing quite a few minutes for a Loyola Chicago team that I'm curious to see what you're going to be able to get out of them this year. They had a terrible year, number one, out there in the A-10. They were able to pick it up big time this past season, but for Loyola Chicago, they've brought in a few nice guys. Jaden Deloach is someone that comes in from Georgia, began his career over at VCU. He's a good rebounder. Francis Nworke is another one, those 6'7" stretchable pieces. Justin Moore is able to give you a little bit of facilitation. So, like what they've done in the transfer portal thus far. Kendall Davis, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Last year, while he was over at Eastern Illinois, was one of the better defenders that you were able to find on that team. He was a part of a defense that was rock solid. Offense didn't give you too much, but was able to log about 10.5 points, steal and a half per contest, 4.5 boards per contest. He was also at Long Island LIU a few seasons ago. He's in the transfer portal, and so is Braden Smith. Braden Smith was the Patriot League Player of the Year, 12.5 points, 5.5 boards, 5.5 assists, has shot well north of 35% from three-point throughout his career. Not the Braden Smith from Purdue, by the way, just to make that clear. This is a completely different Braden Smith, but that said, he's in the transfer portal. So is Ryan Mutombo, though. I do think that expectations should be tempered for him. Mutombo just never could get out there on the floor for Georgetown. He has a 7'2" frame. He's got a great last name. That's about all that he's done thus far. So we shall see where he's going to be landing at. Manny Sissoko. Oh, one of my favorite guys for everyone that's listened to this podcast. He's decided that he's going to be going to Cal. Now with Cal, I'm going to be very curious to see how they utilize him because he was just not a guy that gave you anything on offense fewer than 5 points per contest. Sam will give you about 5 to 6 rebounds per game. He'll throw in there a block or two as well. I just felt like there were better options for Michigan State, but going on over to Cal, I think that he's going to be able to elevate the team down low, and I ain't talk about the haul for Cal as of right now. This bunch, I think, has now brought in 8 guys via the transfer portal. Favorite of them, Andre Stojakovic, a former top 75 recruit that's able to pop it from threes. They're bringing in Rytus Petraitis, who had that triple-double while he was playing over at Air Force against UNLV. Christian Tucker is able to dole out the ball. He comes in from UTSA. He's probably going to be in competition, Sissoko is, with Lee Dort for a bunch of minutes. It's down low, and that gives you a little bit of insurance as well. So I think that that is going to be a nice impact get. And I like this move as well. Ethan Morton, he last season was playing over on Purdue, just flat out fell out of favor with regards to what we were seeing out of Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith, what have you. He's decided that he's going to be transferring on over to Colorado State. Colorado State is going to be losing Isaiah Stevens, and Morton is never going to be the scorer that Isaiah Stevens is, but he's always been very smart with the ball. He's always been a relatively solid facilitator. Now, the guys that he's going to be facilitating to, right now that's a big roll of the dice. That's a big question mark, and you have to wonder if Morton is going to be a little bit just out of sync in general after he averaged less than a point per contest for Purdue last season. He honestly saw a few halfway decent minutes and 2 seasons ago was a starter, but he's just a little bit out of sorts in general, but has always been a guy that's able to dole out the ball quite well, has always been a nice plus defender, which has eluded Colorado State a little bit as well. So overall, I do like this move for them. Camp Wagner, he last season was playing over at Rice. We give our Lane Kiffin, go Owls. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Indiana State, and it's very clear that this Indiana State team is going to be taking a little bit of a nosedive from what they had a season ago for Wagner. He only saw about 1.5 points per contest last season while he was over at Rice, so do have to wonder what sort of an impact he's going to be making. And for Indiana State, I do think that their writing is on the wall that it is going to be a little bit of a long and rough season for them. That said, you wish him absolutely nothing but the best. Chris Conway, he last season was playing over at Oakland. He has decided that he is going to be hitting the transfer portal for Conway. He was a solid player for Oakland last season. He was able to deliver for the team 10 points, 4 boards. Has never been a great 3-point shooter at 6'10", but he's capable of being able to pop those threes. Was able to do a relatively solid job on the glass, so going to be very curious to see where he ends up. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and this man is getting out of the transfer portal as Marcus Watson. He has decided that he is going to be transferring on over from Towson, and he is going to be going to Coastal Carolina. Watson has had a little bit of a long and winding road himself. He was unable to get out there on the floor last season, but When he last played for North Carolina A&T during the 2022-23 campaign, he was legitimately their top scorer. Never has been able to shoot threes at a very high clip, but he's capable of popping threes as a little bit of a 6'6 combo player. He was a little bit more of a guy that would do a nice job of being a bruiser on the glass. He's able to log about 4.5 boards to go along with his 14 points per game. Has a little bit of handle in his game as well. Not amazing, but solid. So I'm going to be very interested to see how he's going to be able to operate moving forward. And for Coastal Carolina, it's a good ad for them as they are losing their coach after he was there for 100 million billion years. And for Coastal Carolina in general, it was just a bunch of last year. They played absolutely no defense whatsoever. Now you turn the page from the Cliff Ellis era, you're going to be bringing in just a whole bunch of new guys in general, trying to put in a new system. So we shall see how the, shall we say, passing of the torch is going to be going there. Legend Geeter, he's going to look to Geeter Dunn in the transfer portal. He's decided that he is going to be transferring away from Eastern Michigan. He was one of their top rebounders last season, but that's really not saying much. Eastern Michigan has been absolutely terrible on the glass. 5.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game out of him. He did shoot 43% from three as a 6'8", little bit of a combo player, so you do have a little bit of upside there. That said, I don't think that the market is necessarily going to be overly fluid on him, but that said, I do think that there's going to be some sort of a market for him. He should be able to land somewhere. You saw Mayor Wall. He last season was playing over at College of Charleston. He has decided that he is going to be transferring to Eastern Kentucky, and solid get for Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky did go away a little bit more from their just generate a whole bunch of turnovers system 8 seasons ago. Part of it is because they were one of the more dominant low post teams in all of college basketball a year ago, and Wall should be able to help out with that. 6'8" guy that really just didn't see a lot of minutes for College of Charleston. He's able to pop threes, didn't necessarily do so at an overly high clip, but for Eastern Kentucky, the reason why the team was able to have success in the Atlantic 10 last season is that they had Isaiah Cozart be one of the best double-double guys, just be amazing on the glass in general. I believe that he's going to be out of the fold now. He's out of eligibility, bringing over someone like a Wall to be able to help fill the void. He's not going to be quite the same shot blocker that we saw out of Cozart, but that said, should be able to help the team out down low and let the team operate and be able to pop a quite a few threes that he's used to playing an up-tempo style. Xavier Amos, he was playing over at Northern Illinois this past season. He has decided that he's going to be transferring over to Wisconsin now. I will say this. I know that a bunch of Wisconsin fans are very, very excited over their transfer all of Cameron Hunter, who did not play during the 2023-24 season, but he was the top scorer over at Central Arkansas 2 seasons ago. Juan Xavier Amos. I think that Wisconsin has a lot of work to do, and if you think that Wisconsin is going to be able to make a big run, I don't agree. I don't agree at all, as Xavier Amos, he did put up 14 points, 5.5 boards per contest last season over at Northern Illinois. He had 6'8", was able to shoot about 38.5% from three, but what does the systems of Northern Illinois and Central Arkansas have in common? They've got one common allergy, defense. Not good, to say the least. So Wisconsin, in my opinion, has a lot of work to do. As for Amos, yeah, I think that he's going to be able to give this team a little bit of something, but he's also taking a big leap up from Mac, which was down last season, over to Wisconsin. I need to see more out of them before I can be a little bit more bullish. And then for Northern Illinois, they also lost Keyshawn Williams. He has decided that he's going to be going to Colorado State as well. So they get Ethan Morton, and now they also get Keyshawn Williams on the same day. With Williams, he's a guy that I take a look at that I have in a little bit more esteem, just pretty much missed all of last season due to injury. But when Keyshawn Williams was out there on the floor during the 2022-23 campaign and injuries, that has been very much a story from him. He's only played 16 games last 2 seasons, but that said, during the 2022-23 campaign, he was shooting about 35.5% from three, 18 points, 2.5 assists per contest, is able to just stuff the stat sheet very well, has some okay size. He was actually beginning his career over at Tulsa. He's about 6'3", 6'4", so I do think that there's some upside there, and do like what Colorado State was able to bring in over the last 24 to 48 hours. Cam Bryant, he was playing over for Georgia Southern those last season, and he's going to be playing for Mercer. For Bryant, he's always been a little bit of an enigma to me. He's someone that's able to give you a little bit of production. For Bryant, he was able to log about 6 points, 4 boards per contest at 6'7". And he's able to stretch the floor a little bit and pop threes at about a 32.5% clip. He's not a difference maker, but if you try to utilize him as more of a just like a little bit of a lower down the line starter, if you utilize him as a sixth man, I think that he could be relatively effective. So as long as Mercer is not putting all their chips in the basket of Bryant and then they're utilizing him as an ancillary piece, I think that that could work out quite well. Dartmouth transfer Dusan Niskovich, he has decided that he's going to be going to Richmond. I just absolutely love this pickup for Richmond. Nikšić is right around about 6'7". Shot in the high 30s from three-point range, 36% from distance, 16 points, about 4.5 rebounds per game. And Richmond, you could use a little bit more rebounding, and Nikšić, I don't think he's going to be able to help out with that too much, but his versatility, his ability to be able to pop threes. We saw that this last year with Kyle Quinn, the 7-footer that came over from the Patriot League, him being able to out the ball, Nikšić being a guy that's able to do a little bit of everything. This is just a textbook perfect fit for a Richmond team. I've been very impressed with the way that they've utilized the transfer portal over the last few seasons, so absolutely love this move. Lipscomb lost much of their backcourt from a season ago, so they're going to poach someone from within the Atlantic Sun. They're going to be going to Jacksonville with Josiah Boom Boom Powell. Last season, he was a solid player. He was able to dole out about 2 assists per contest, 9 points per game for a Jacksonville team that I still remember a few years ago. They were like one of the top defenses in all of college basketball. It's been herky-jerky, to say the least, for them over the last few seasons, but with Mr. Boom Boom Powell, I do think that he's going to be able to come in as a relatively okay guard for the team. Not quite the same level of 3-point shooter that we've seen in the past, so he did 2 seasons ago on a little bit of a lower volume of about 3 threes per contest. Shoot about 41% from the outside. Should be able to make a nice impact for a Lipscomb team that is in horrible need for guards because they've lost quite a few here in the transfer process, and they're going to be able to help fill that up. You've got Jai Howard, who last season just really wasn't able to get out there on the floor too much for Tennessee State. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and you're going to have a lot of these guys that are going to be entering as we're right now north of 1,900 guys in the transfer portal. Wouldn't be surprised if it's all said and done. We're up to 2,000, but Howard, he was just unable to get out there on the floor the last few seasons. Actually played at Chattanooga State Community College, was a highly touted JUCO guy at 6 feet tall, a little bit more of a true point guard. That's going to be out there for the taking. And then we saw Cameron Fletcher. He last season was playing with Florida State and began his career at Kentucky, a former top 75 recruit. Just couldn't really see a lot of minutes because he was injured in the last 2 years. He's only played a combined 17 games in his last 2 seasons, has been able to give you about 8.5 points per contest, has been a career about 34% three-point shooter. If you're able to get him healthy, you're looking at something. He just hasn't been healthy. He's a little bit of a combo guard slash more of a just swing forward at about 6'6". He's in the transfer portal. I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in him. And if you're able to get him healthy, I think that you're looking at something there. And you're going to be probably looking at something with a little bit more of a raw guy, but a guy that I think could be able to provide a little bit of upside. Rakus Josias, he was last season playing over at LaSalle. He has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. LaSalle didn't have a lot of rebounding at all, but at 6'10", he was able to space out the floor, 8.5 points, 5.5 boards, shot 38.5% from three-point range. So I absolutely do love what he's able to bring to the table, and I do think that someone's going to be getting a good one with him. And I do think that Orlando Lovejoy is going to be able to bring a little bit of upside as well. Love that last name of Lovejoy, as he last season over at Eastern Michigan was able to spy about 9 points, 3 assists per contest. Has never been a great 3-point shooter at about 6'2". You want to have him in a main facilitator role because he's just not able to give you a whole heck of a lot with regards to outside shooting or anything like that, but now he's available in the transfer portal, as is Matthew Alexander Moncrief. And for Matthew Alexander Moncrief, the long and winding road continues, as I really liked his game when he was over there at Oklahoma State a few seasons ago. He always had quite a bit of upside, and in that year number one, where you had out there on the floor Cade Cunningham and company, he was great. He had like 9 points, 5.5 boards, has never been a great 3-point shooter, but he has literally seen a decline in production in darn near every single year that he's been in college. He averaged 1.1 points per game this past year. It's going to be interesting if he decides, all right, let's go down to the like mid-major level. Let's just try to get minutes in general, because if so, I do think that he's going to be able to provide quite a bit of a boost. And speaking of Oklahoma State, how about them losing Justin McBride, and he has decided that he is going to be transferring on over to Nevada. We've seen Nevada do a nice job in the portal last few years as well for McBride, a former top 250 recruit that just didn't see a lot of minutes this past year for Oklahoma State. 2.5 points, 1.5 rebounds per game, but I think that he could be a really nice fit, guy that's a little bit more defense first. So I do think that that is exactly what they are looking for. And Chase Parr, he's going to be an interesting transfer as well. He has decided that he is going to be transferring out of Towson. He was a part of a Tigers team that last season they were one of your better mid-major defenses in all of college basketball. For Mr. Chase Parr, he's also got a brother that actually plays in Cole Parr as well. So you got Parr squared. Wouldn't be surprised if they're going to be a little bit of a package deal, but he only averaged about 3.5 points,
2 boards per contest. He actually had his best year. Rams averaging 5.5 points, 5 boards for George Washington way back in the 2019-20 season. So he's going to be looking for a little bit of a new home, and this is your home for a little bit of everything that's happening in college basketball right now. We're keeping up with it all, and we're keeping up with the fact that you've got now a former top 100 recruit heading on over to Chicago State. You were supposed to have those guys that were like the top 10 recruits, the brothers, I'm forgetting their last name, go over there as well, but for Chicago State, landing Quincy Allen, especially after they lost their coach and Gerald Gillian. This is very big for them. Allen wasn't able to make a profound impact on James Madison, has been dealing with a few injuries, but him being able to go over there, that is huge. And what is huge is coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops. If you do like what you're hearing, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, think of an idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @GNet_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to our good friend in Ethan Bach of Portal Report for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the year in general, regular season and off season. And I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.